الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those who are new attendees to Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Or those who are regular attendees, and welcome back to Islamic studies class. And those who are new listeners, our new attendees, our students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is fathers are special. I spoke about mothers are specials, and now I want to just mention just a very few things about why fathers are special. I want to also look at a hadith saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, pertaining to when they ask about mothers and who get the best treatment. And then the Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, he said, your mother. Then he said again, your mother. And then the guy asked one more time, who? He said, your mother. And then he said, asked him who? And he said, your father. So basically he asked him four times who gets the best treatment. The first three times he said your mother. And then the last time he said your father. So your father is to be honored, treated well, and so forth. And so we are not to slight our fathers, because sometimes, of course, fathers are different than mothers. In most cases, I'm not saying all cases, what I'm talking about is not absolute. But in most cases, fathers are more so the hunters and gatherers. They are not as nurturing as mothers are. I'm not saying this is absolute, but in general, that's the case. They may not give you what you want when you need it, that sort of thing. Sometimes fathers overwhelm people, girls or boys, with what they want and what they need. But the thing is, the loving and the kissing and the hugging and those kind of things, a lot of times that comes from the mother. But from the father's side, sometimes we may not do that as often or as much. It does not mean that we don't love you or fathers don't love you. I'm a father, so I'm going to be on the positive father's side pertaining to fathering. Or being a father. And a father doesn't mean that you just basically father or you had sex with your wife, and then you plant the seed, and then out of the seed grow you as an individual on the child. I'm talking about more beyond the planting the seed into the woman. I'm also talking about being there for them, clothing them, feeding them, protecting everyone in the household, because the men are the protectors and maintainers of the household. That is our job, and this is a job that we should do as long as we can do it, and as possible that we can do it. And sometimes we make the impossible possible with the help of Allah, and making sure that we maintain things for our families. But I think one of our big jobs as men is being a father, providing the guidance for our boys, for our male children, and also for our female children. protecting them, providing them, advising them, maybe seeing, getting another perspective on things, that maybe the mother has another perspective and the father may have another perspective. I'm not saying either one of them are wrong. You have the choice. Choose a father perspective of a thing or the mother perspective of a particular thing, or their thoughts about a thing, or how they look at a thing and how you should resolve a particular thing that's going on with you out in your lifetime. And so you may get one way from your mother and one way from your father, and then you make the decision. You got to go with you by your mother, or you can go by your father. That's up to you. Or just go by your friend. Or just go by your own feeling. And that would be totally up to you as the child of the father or of the mother. And so please keep in mind, my beautiful students, is that the father comes from a whole nother perspective. And not always like the mother, and the mother comes from another perspective, is not always like the one of the father. And don't think that one is better than the other, or one is greater than the other, something like that. That'll be your choice how you see what they're doing or what they're saying to you. And again, you have the choice to decide what you're going to do, or you can decide not to go with either one of them and do your own thing. And whatever consequences, you have to deal with those consequences of what you decide to do. And so I want to mention just a very few things pertaining to the father. And it was narrated by Abu Huraira that the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, said, "Do not deny your fathers or claim to be the sons of a person other than your father. And whoever denies his father is charged with disbelief." So you can't say, and I get into that later on, that you deny the person, he is not my father. You might be mad at him or whatever case may be, but he is still your father. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't divorce your parents. So I just want to let you know in case you think so. Now, maybe some court someplace in the world, they may say, I grant you permission or whatever it is, that you are no longer related to your parents. Now, you might have that written on a piece of paper, and some people say, "What? What kind of stuff are you talking about, Imam?" This is true for some people. You can look it up yourself, whatever search engine you want to look up. You can see these kind of things for yourself. But it's one of the things where a child may want a divorce from their parents or from their father. The law knows best. But the thing is, he will still be your father, and she will still be your mother. And there's no kind of courts can say they are not your father. They are the ones, they have what is called, you have termination of parental rights, and that means they don't have basically rights to you as far as you as being their parents. And the person that they put in charge of you, they have rights, can sign different things for you. That's a lot of times in the United States courts. But the thing is, the bottom line is, they're still your father. No matter what the courts say, that person is still your father. They cannot say this person did not plant the seed and he is no longer your father. And so let me move on. I won't dwell on that. But the thing is, we cannot claim or we can't deny that one person is our father and this other person is our father. And say whoever denies his father is charged with disbelief. So we certainly don't want to do that. In Islam, we also have the thing where if a father dies, then the child is considered an orphan. And you get so many blessings for caring for an orphan, or so many blessings for caring for a person who is a widow. And why they are like that? Not because the mother and the father separated from each other. He's still alive. But the thing is, from Islamic standpoint, when a father dies, then a child is now an orphan. And so I just want to let you know that little bit of Islam. I'm going to details pertaining to that, but just because that takes more time, and I'm not going to talk about that thing, because I really don't have the time right now to do that sort of thing. And so also it is mentioned that by the prophet, may peace be upon him, said, it is disbelief for a man to attribute himself to someone other than his father knowingly, or to deny his connection to his father. And so, again, saying the same thing, I cannot deny my connection to my father, knowing that you can deny the connection to your father. I'll say someone else, it's my father, I pick you, you're my father. That cannot be. Before Islam, if I remember this correctly, this is before Islam. And that is that when a woman has sex with various men, and then she may say, okay, and maybe I'd say, for example, this is only an example, 10 men. And so she would say, okay, and she had sex with 10 men and got pregnant. She would say, okay, you're the father. And then he's the father. He is picked as being the father, although if when you look at DNA or genetics, and then you may find out that no, according to the DNA, that this person, medically, this person is not a biological, the person is not my father. Because it doesn't match with the makeup or your makeup, match up with his makeup of being your father. But the thing is, that's what they used to do, but we don't do that kind of thing. Muslims don't do that kind of thing. Your father is your father, and you can't select this person is going to be your father, and that's the bottom line to that. Also, it is mentioned that by the prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, do not detest your fathers. He who detests his father committed infidelity. And so this is a thing that we cannot do. This is unjust. This is a wrong thing. As I mentioned before, it is part of being a disbeliever, the fact that we do what? We detest our father. We say that, yes, this person here is my father. Because the person treated you very well. Whatever it may be, he is my father. And sometimes I understand that. Sometimes you have in a situation, you may have a man that all your life, he's the only one you know, all your life, your father, biological father, hasn't treated you well, they haven't provided for you, that kind of thing. And this man provided for you. And I understand that I'm not taking anything from that man that made a commitment to take care of a child that really does not belong to him or not from himself. And I give you whatever you deserve for you taking on that challenge, because you don't have to do that. I remember I used to teach a class in college, and some of the students, I would say this thing to them. I would tell them to my student, we would talk about Islam a little bit. And so we talk about basically all faith, but then we also talk about Islam. And so I was explaining to my students is that, say, for example, to the women, if I marry one of you and you have children, I'm really responsible for only you, and I'm not really responsible for your children. Although you may live in my home, your children may live in my home, you all eat what I eat, and I clothe your children, but as far as responsibility, I am responsible for your children. The responsibility for your children or child is on the father, either one father or fathers, depending on how many men you've been with. Then I'm really not responsible for them. The responsibility falls on the father. And a lot of times, many of my students, many of them were non-Muslim students, majority of them, then they would look and say, what? Huh? What you mean by that? They didn't agree with me. I didn't say that for you to agree or disagree with me. I'm just laying out facts of who really is responsible for the caretaking of your children. And I guess in their minds, they thought, if I marry you, you automatically become the father. I become, as they say here in the United States, I know how it is in other places, is that I become their, what they call their stepfather for them, but their biological father is the one who impregnated the woman, and he is the one that's responsible for the children. Yes, if I'm eating, the children are going to eat, although they're the responsibility of another man. I clothe myself and clothe you as my wife, I'm going to clothe them too. I shelter you, make sure that you have heat, you have a place to stay, that sort of thing. Yes, I'm going to take care of your children too. And any child that come out of you from me, I'm going to take care of those children equally. I'm not going to have my child be like on his pedestal or throne, if you will, and then your children kind of like not on that same pedestal, throne, if you will. I'm not gonna do that to them. I'm gonna treat them all very well and treat your children as if they are my children, and that's really is the bottom line from an Islamic perspective, and just being trying to be a good man, and take care of the children, and hopefully be a good example for the girls and for the boys, and by treating them in a very good way. I treat the boys in a good way to show them, look, this is how a man is supposed to do. This is how a man is supposed to take care of his family. This is how a man is supposed to treat his family. I teach that to the boys. I'm teaching to the girls, look, this is the type of man, I'm not doing this all for either one of them. This is the type of man you should look for. Not a man that you're like other men that in your life that are not good men, are not taking care of you the way they're supposed to take care of you. No, I'm not talking about that. And you're not going to hear me say negative things about your father. First of all, it's backbiting if it's true. And if not true, I'm slandering your father. And I'm just not going to do that. That's not my makeup. You think what you're going to make about your father, I'm just not going to be the person to listen to that and also to agree with you or disagree with you. That's not my way. I'm not going to backbite your father, nor am I going to slander your father. I'm going to be there for you. If you need help, I'm there to help you. If you need advice, I'm there to advise you. You need protection, I'm going to be there to protect you to the best of my ability. And that's just how I'm going to be, and that's how other fathers should be, in my opinion, should be the same way, or maybe even better than I am, which is also okay. So I just want to mention those two things about how a father's supposed to do, even as a stepfather, if you will, and also how my students saw me. And they thought, and I was only just giving an example about, look, this is the situation. Yes, if I marry you, an example, but also I have responsibility to take care of your children. I'm not a threat to their father. I'm not going to say anything negative about the father. I'm not there to replace the father. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do as a man. And that's it. And no one's going to stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do as a man. And that is really the bottom line. And no one's going to change me. I'm just giving you a little bit of insight about myself. No woman's going to change me and make me not do what I'm supposed to do as a man. And no child's going to change me from doing what I'm supposed to do as a man. And also no biological father of the children. And they're not going to change me and do what I'm supposed to do as a man. So I just want to lay those things out to you. And, of course, if you have a father that is a decent man, taking care of you and doing what he's supposed to do, then you thank Allah for this individual and have an appreciation for your father. And if you can, from time to time, take him out. God gift for him. Take him to dinner. Just sit and talk. And this is something that you can do one-on-one for yourself and for your father. It's no special thing, father, dad, whatever you call them, Abu, Abi. Yeah, I just want to take you out and just sit and talk. And it's for males and for females. And you're not going just for, you got a problem I want to talk about, and you only see your father as a problem solver. Sometimes he needs a break. So just take your father out just for something. I don't want anything from you. I don't want to borrow any money from you. I don't have any issues. I just want to take you out and say, look, I appreciate what you've done for me or what you do for me. And don't wait for a special day. Like in America, we have, I don't know, it happened like this all over the world, we have what we call Father's Day, and that happens in June. We have Mother's Day in May and Father's Day in June. And so we don't wait till that day for people to tell us, okay, this now on this day, you do special things for your father. If you want to do something special on that day, that's up to you. But there are other days that you can do something special just for your dad. And it really is just because he has a favorite thing that he likes. Whatever it may be, favorite food, then you buy that food for him. Or he may be a shirt or something that he's been eyeballing or saving up money for. Then you surprise him, find out his size, and you buy the shirt or shoes or whatever, and you give it to him. This is just a gift for me. I'm not asking for anything from you. I'm not setting you up for anything. This is for you. And he may not admit it. He may admit it. But it may keep it inside that he really would appreciate something from you. I'm just saying, because sometimes fathers are neglected. Sometimes we give and give and give it to moms. And I'm not knocking moms. Okay? Moms, so for some people, cannot do any wrong. And I understand that. And I can't change that one way or another. But sometimes fathers are the ones that are neglected. Fathers are the ones that we forget all about. Fathers are the one that you're going to give a gift from. And I know sometimes it's hard to get gifts for the father or buy a gift for the father. I understand that. So just taking him to dinner, if you can, then take him to dinner. Sometimes just spending time with your father. And that doesn't cost you one thin dime or any kind of money. I don't know what kind of money you have in your world or where your society. But it doesn't cost you anything just to say, I just want to spend time. Let's sit at our favorite spot. Let's look at the water, look at the mountains. And let's just sit and talk and just enjoy each other's company. Or those who like soccer, sit with your father and watch, I guess, a portion of a soccer game or something like that and talk about a few things with them. He would probably appreciate that. Find out what he likes, and then do that thing with him, or buy that thing for him. So I just want to mention just a few things. Don't forget the father, and please don't lose your connection with your father, and also don't say to, okay, I'm gonna deny you, Pop, but he's my father. Don't do that, because that's not from Islam, and we also not to detest our father. Not at all, because that is infidelity or disbelief when we don't like our father. I like this person, but I don't like my father. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave a child a choice between his father and his mother, meaning which parent to live with. He said, oh boy, this is your mother and this is your father. And so I want to mention, because sometimes people may think that, a child is only to go with their mother, and that's it. And no, Islamically, and at a certain age, I'm going to get into all that right now, is that the child has a choice. At a certain age, then you ask the child. You don't necessarily select, particularly talk about a boy. You don't particularly select, okay, he's going to go with her because she's the mother. No, Islamically, that's not the way to do things. What you should do thing is you give the boy or give the child a choice. This is your mother. This is your father. Which one you want to go to live with? And then you can work other things, visitation out, that kind of thing. And because you have the, of course, you have the situation where the mother and the father may live different places and may separate from each other, divorce from each other. Or it may be a situation where the father works in one area and the mother lives in another area, maybe work in another area. And so you want to know for the child, all right, which person you want to live with. They don't even have to be divorced from, necessarily divorced from each other. But you ask the child, okay, who do you want to live with? And let the child decide for himself who they want to live with. The child may say, I want to live with my mother. Or it may say, I want to live with my father. This is choice. So I just want to mention to you all, again, Peace Pilgrim gave a child the choice between his father and his mother, meaning which parent to live with. He said, oh boy, this is your mother and this is your father. So he had the choice to live with the mother or to live with the father. It's not an automatic thing that the child lives with the mother. What I'm saying is I'm not denying mother or belittling the mother, not at all. Or belittling the father, not at all. I'm just saying what the prophet said. He said to the child, oh boy, you have a choice to go live with your mother or live with your father. This is your mother, and this is your father. What do you want to do? I'm going to get into age. I'm going to get into those kind of things, but that's for a whole nother study or class. And so I just want to let you know that our mothers do not have sole custody of the child, particularly talking about the male, but the child has a choice to live, who are you going to live with, the mother or the father. And prayfully, the parents of mother and or the father will be okay with whatever the child chooses. Don't be mad at the child because they chose. The child has that choice to decide, I want to live with my mother, I want to live with my father. Or the child may start off saying, I want to live with my mother, and then change later on and say, I want to live with my father. And the child has that choice. Also, it is mentioned, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, if anyone knowingly claims as father one who is not his father, paradise is forbidden to him. As I said one time before, earlier I said that he's become a disbeliever. And also if I said, claims that this person my father, this person not my father, then paradise is forbidden to the individual. And no one wants for paradise to be forbidden to him. And I want to also remind my student one more thing. Well, a couple more things, really. My father, but Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, as this man said, he said, oh, messenger of Allah, my father is an elderly man who is not able to perform Hajj nor Umrah. Meaning that's like a lesser Hajj, which takes a less time to do. And you can always look this up for yourself. I'll go to a near masjid, a place of worship, and find out more information about Hajj and about Umrah. Umrah is U-M-R-A-H. And Hajj is H-A-J-J. Nor undertaking the journey. They're too old to undertake the journey or go on Hajj or Umrah. He said, may peace be upon him, perform Hajj on behalf of your father and perform Umrah. In other words, your father is old and elderly, and if we are challenged for him to perform the Hajj, then this man asked about it, and then the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, go ahead and perform the Hajj or Umrah on behalf of your father. And so it's okay to do. So the other piece of that is some say that, well, just make sure you perform Hajj and Umrah for yourself. Then you perform Hajj and Umrah for someone else. In this case, it's talking about, okay, that the fact that the father is too old, he can't handle the journey, and is it okay for me to go ahead and perform the Hajj or the Umrah for him? And so the Prophet, peace be upon him, he gave permission to perform either one of them or for them or both of them for the father. Now I want to read this last one, and it says, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, Do not turn away from your fathers, for he who turns away from his father will be guilty of committing an act of disbelief. So we have to make sure that we do not turn away from our fathers or anything like that, because we don't want to do acts of disbelief. I don't want anything to do with him. He's not my father. Have to be very, very careful of that kind of thing. And as Muslims, we are not allowed to be mad at an individual Muslim for a certain amount of time. And matter of fact, the person who says salams first, speaks to the other one first, then he is the better person. Or if I see, for example, my father, and he sees me, and that I don't look away from him, he don't look away from me, we don't want to say anything to each other. So I have to be very, 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 very careful of this kind of behavior. So I want to, and that we will be guilty of committing an act of disbelief. So my beautiful students, I have just said a few things about Father, just a very, very few things about Father. And Father have a special place, and he's a special individual. You want to learn more about Islam, you go to Why Islam. You go to the International Online University to learn more about Islam, American Open University to learn more about Islam, and also you go to embracereverb.org to learn some basic information about Islam. If you want to know even more about Islam, you go to muslimnetwork.tv and find out what's going on with Islam now throughout the world. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.